Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and today's conversation is with Dr. Leo McKay, Deputy Secretary of Veterans Affairs. Joining us in our conversation is Jonathan Brule.
Homeland security has become a top priority for government organizations. What role will the VA be playing in the event of a national emergency?
Sure. I think it'll be the role, an enhanced role, but the role that we've played historically in the Federal Response Plan, which is principally bound up with public health and with mass casualties. Interestingly enough, on September 11th, I spent the evening in a relocation facility outside of the District of Columbia as coordinating the department's response as part of the Federal Response Plan. We had three hospitals in the New York area that all were poised to accept casualties. Unfortunately, as we now know, there were not very many casualties. There were mainly fatalities, but 60 people were, six prompt casualties were treated in VA facilities, mainly in our hospital in Manhattan. We also have medical and surgical supplies that we store. One of the things that VA has is a very large acquisition system, actually the second largest in government. It's very far behind the Department of Defense, obviously, but we procure medical and surgical supplies, pharmaceuticals, and others. And we conducted a cross-country airlift under Air Force escort from originating in the West Coast, stopped in the Midwest at a place that we have med-surg supplies stored for emergency contingencies, and then went into the New York City area. So we were executing our homeland security mission. Now, in the wake of September 11th, I think all departments have taken a good hard look at what they do and how they do it, and in order to make sure that we are both protecting our own employees, the veterans that come to us, and the assets that are entrusted to us by taxpayers, and also to enhance our ability to support the Department of Homeland Security that's been newly established. We had about a six-week study that looked very closely at what we do. And the central recommendation of that study that has now come to fruition is the Office of Operations Security and Preparedness in the department. It's a new assistant secretary level part of our department, and it has the task of pulling together all of our response capabilities. One of the things we've done is we have now an operations center that is manned and operating 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that gives the secretary and myself the kind of situational awareness that we really didn't have before September 11th. So we're much more able to do the things that we do in response to you know, man-made or natural disasters. We have, in addition to the you know, just the capability of our hospitals and our healthcare professionals as a reserve, a strategic reserve, if you will, that's spread out across the country, we also have the tasking in support of CDC and the Office of Emergency Preparedness at HHS. We acquire and manage the inventory of national stockpiles of pharmaceuticals and other equipment and supplies that would be utilized in a public health emergency or in a mass casualty scenario. So those are the things that we do in Homeland Security principally, and that's the way that we have moved out to do it better in this post-September 11th world.
Let me ask you to take a step back and put on your big picture hat and talk about your vision for the VA over the next 5 years.
The vision really has two parts, I think. With respect to health care, it is to, when my tenure is over and the secretary's tenure is over, we want to make sure that we are healthy in that area and that we're poised to continue on as a system of direct provision of health services to veterans as a veterans system. The value of VHA and a veterans healthcare system is that it is a system designed and built for veterans. It is no accident that the bulk of our research is clinical research, that it centers in areas like prosthetics, blind rehabilitation, spinal cord injury, and long-term care. Those are the things that veterans are demanding and need. And those are the kind of things that we have to be able to supply in a first-class manner in order to earn our keep as a veterans healthcare system. So I think that is that's one goal. As an organization, as an organizational entity, I want to be focused on continuous improvement. I think when the new management scorecard is put out, you'll see that we've made some progress, as Jonathan alluded to a little earlier, in that goal. But I want to make sure in all those core processes and in all those key activities like cooperating with DOD, competitive sourcing. I want to emphasize it's competitive sourcing. In so many of those competitions, the government workers actually win, but they win in a most efficient organization. Strategic management of human capital. The financial management and budget performance integration across the board in those activities and so many others, we want to continually improve. An organization as large, as complex as VA can't really aspire to any kind of utopian ideal. We're not going to be the perfect organization. But I think we can legitimately aspire to continuously improve, to continuously do a better job of managing our assets, to continuously improve in the job of strategic planning, continuously improve in the way we develop and run our information technology programs to make sure that we have an enterprise architecture so that we have a rational IT structure. And we have a new telecommunications modernization project, that we're better at cybersecurity, that we do a better job of safeguarding the privacy of veterans and abiding by the HIPAA guidelines as they come online and reach force. So those are the things that I think animate at least my tenure as COO.
When you think about that vision, what are a couple of the key management challenges you're going to have to work through to get there?
The biggest challenge, and this is a challenge across government, is in people. The biggest threat to the provision of government services of the federal government over the next 20 years is attracting, retaining the right sets of people with the right skills. You know, 15 years ago, the biggest single hiring we did was for clerk typists, and now we don't own a typewriter in central office, and most of our filing is done electronically. So a whole job classification has just been done away with, and that is going to be replicated in the next 10 years. And so staying up to date with people skills is the biggest threat to that agenda of continuous improvement in the provision of quality health care to veterans.
Well, that tees up my last question quite nicely. What advice would you give to a young person perhaps interested in a career in public service?
I would say to plan for it at some point. I know that a good number of the professionals the educated young people that go to college and then pursue their careers are going to pursue their careers in 3 to 5 year chunks. And I would commend to them to look at spending a 3 to 5 year chunk in the federal government or state local government for that matter. Not only does it give you the chance to give back, but skills like particularly information technology, financial management skills, are the kind of critical skills that are in need. And I would love to get somebody into VA to work in those areas that had spent a couple of years after graduation from college someplace else and wanted to spend, came with an open mind. But if they wanted to move on after 5 to 7 years, I think that's a fair exchange to give that service back, that public sector service, which recompenses you in so many ways. Some of it is tangible. But most of it is intangible. We have one of the worst things that you can say about, and most inaccurate things you can say about, you know, government bureaucrats, is that they're boring, drab people. I find them to be the height of idealism. Most of them serve and make the kind of trade-offs that you make to be in the civil service long term consciously. They know they're not going to make top dollar, but they know that the quality of their life is improved because what they're doing is being done, you know, for this land that we all love. And in our case, at the Department of Veterans Affairs, it's being done in service to those who have served this country under some very trying and difficult circumstances, and that animates the people at the Department of Veterans Affairs.
Well, we're out of time for this morning. Dr. McCabe, Jonathan, I want to thank you very much for being with us.
It's been a great pleasure. Thank you.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Dr. Leo McCabe, Deputy Secretary for Veterans Affairs. Be sure and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and research, and you can get a transcript of today's very interesting conversation. Again, that's www.businessofgovernment.org. This is Paul Lawrence. Thank you for listening.
How can we use wireless technologies to expand opportunities for e-government? A recent endowment report describes the growth of wireless technology and its potential for enterprise applications. For a copy of the report, Preparing for Wireless and Mobile Technologies in Government by authors Chang and Kanan, visit our website at businessofgovernment.org or call us at 703-741-1077.